Hello, everyone. It's the Queen's Club.
All right.
Let's do this. So this is open coaching. You guys don't have to submit. Amber, you're going to be up first. So if you want to get coached, all you got to do is raise your hand and you will get on. Well, Zoom's acting like a goober. Hang on, Amber. Let me let it sit for a second before I can bring you up. It's like sometimes when there's a lot of people trying to dump in at one time, it won't let me do the thing. All right, I'm going to have to give it a second. So camp's open, in case you guys don't know. That's a biggie. Make sure that you go and check it out on the website. All the information is there for you. It's going to be all about ending self-sabotage. We're going to rock all the things. It's going to be so good. I cannot wait. All right, Amber, let's do it. I finally got it to it. It was like jumping and jumping. Guys, if you're going to want coaching, make sure you raise your hand. In this one, you can raise your hand or you can ask a question, and I'll try to get to Q&A, but I primarily do the coaching. All right. So what are we coaching on?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Thank you. You too.
I had my finger like ready because I wanted to thank you. Number one, you coached me in the fall. My job changed me from being a music teacher to a second grade teacher. I am so sorry. Goodness gracious. Are you still there? Oh
yeah,
my
God. Still here.
So embarrassing. I'm so
That's
sorry.
All right.
Well, now I can't get you big again. There you are. Okay, your face. Okay, anyway, so you coached me in the fall about my job changing to me to second grade, and I was like daily panic attacks and like...
I think I remember this.
I was a mess, and I was really... I wanted to thank you because instead of being like, you know, thought work, suck it up, buttercup, you were like the perfect mix of like, let's get your thoughts right, and thank you for like... You were exactly what I needed to hear. So... The reason I'm thanking you is because I've done all the thought work this year. I've kicked ass as a second grade teacher virtually. And the 2 weeks of December, I made my peace with that. I did the job well, and now I'm going to take a leave. So okay. I think you and Brooke would say it's a clean choice instead of like, I wasn't good at it or like all this other. So I really want to thank you because taking a leave as a teacher is... Like, I still have a lot of thought work to do about it. But anyway, I wanted to thank
you. At least you get to feel confident that you're not leaving because you can't handle it, which is the nice thing about, hang on, I had to get the last one saved or it was going to jack this one up. And I just want to pull this out for everyone. The reason why we say like be in a place where like you're really solid with you and stuff, because if you had a left from the place of like, well, you know, I was right. I just suck as a second grade teacher. I need to take a leave and everything. Then all you do is you're taking with you a poor self-image of yourself along with your leave. And now what you're doing is you're like, I really rocked it. I did really good. I just now know I don't want to be doing this and I want to take a leave, which is a much better place to be.
Well, it highlights that if your circumstance changes, that doesn't mean your thoughts change, because I had always been like, oh, I'm not maternal enough to be with the same kids 5 days a week. I'm, you know, not really good at kids. I'm good at music. Like, I worked through all of that crap. So anyway, I wanted to thank you for that, because the circumstance highlighted a lot of insecurities that were there the whole time.
Right.
I'm not going to say grateful yet. It's going to be a couple of years out.
It's all right.
Okay. So changing gears, I need to work on my belief about weight loss.
Okay.
So I can put that front and center again. So I'm
what
one of those.
What do you currently believe?
I currently believe that I don't think I can get there.
Why?
Because I've done all the things. Stop me if you've heard that one before.
What do you mean I've done? What does all the things mean to you, though?
Kathy method, no TV. 2.5 years of plans, discovery worksheets, 96 to 100% on plan, messing with alcohol amounts. So I started writing on belief a couple weeks ago, and I kind of go through this little wave of like, okay, but I did. So now my belief is actually kind of tanking a little bit.
But our belief doesn't tank because we're taking action. Our belief tanks when we start changing how we think about the actions we're taking.
Right. My thought is it's not working.
All right. So tell me in the, like, if I needed to see your data in the last month, what would I be seeing in the last month? And that does not mean, like, tell me first how much weight you have or have not lost in the last month.
I've been 195 for 13 months.
Okay, so we've been 195 in 13 months. Yeah. Has there been any overeating?
I would say 2 or 3 times a month. I go past, like, a 2.5 and then I'll, or 3, and then I'll do a discovery worksheet. I had one fuck it in like October, but that hadn't been for a couple of years.
Okay. Well, let's just back it up to the last week.
Okay.
All right. So in the last week, you were 100% on plans for sure?
Yes.
Okay. That's an easy one. Water and sleep?
Yep.
Okay. So we got all that. So it's coming down to, are you actually hungry before you eat?
Yes.
Like hungry?
Yes. That's why I'm coming on. I'm confident about that.
Okay. So you, I just want to make sure, because sometimes people will say yes. And then I'll say, okay, will you give, like, if I had a way to put a sensor inside your brain and it would go off if you ate and you weren't truly hungry, would you bet me $50,000 on it? And they're like, well,
yes, I would. Okay. Because I've been actually struggling with stopping work to eat. I've heard you say that.
But you're actually hungry. So then on the other side, are you equally as confident, and you would bet me $50,000 that in the last week that you stopped at enough?
No, of course not. That's the one I want to work on, is my plus two.
Okay. So this is the thing. You have no right to believe you can't do this.
Right.
And you have no right to say you're doing all the things yet.
How do I still not have a plus two signal after 3 years with you? How do I not have
enough signal? Like, you act like this is a big problem. You act like this is a stain on your humanity. You act like this is really confusing. I will tell you exactly how you don't have one. Food tastes fucking good. And if you're enjoying it, it's hard to stop until you get good at doing that.
Right.
There's no mystery. There's no stain on humanity.
No, it's not a mystery.
So this last week, if you had actually stopped at enough, what do you think would have happened? Like every single time, even when you didn't want to.
I have stopped at enough this week. That's why I'm like, what? Right,
so this week, what happened with the scale?
Nothing. It didn't move.
Okay. So we had no move. All right.
Correct.
And you're 100% that is your enough, or are you like, what happened the week before? Did you stop at 100? Did 100% of the time, was it at what you think is enough the week before that too?
Yes.
Scale didn't move. All right. So here's the news. Your body is saying that what you think is enough is called maintenance.
Right. That is $50,000. Yes, I would put money on that for the last 13 months.
Okay. So what is it going to take to quit eating in maintenance and calling it doing all the things and shaking your belief? It's like, what's it going to take?
It's going to take eating less, but I
guess. Why are you confused? You just need to eat less every single meal. Tell me why this one. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to try to get this in my mind, because my belief is getting shaken, even though I'm riding on it every day.
No, belief, but stop saying that. Remember, belief is a feeling.
Okay.
It can't be just shaken because of circumstances and results. Your thought is mismanaged around it.
Okay.
Your thought is, I'm doing all the things and not losing weight. Your thought, yes, that is not going to strengthen belief. Your thought is, this is confusing.
I tried all the methods and it didn't result in weight loss. My thought is,
you tried all the methods and you are actually eating in maintenance. You got to eat less than that.
Right. I've pushed plus two. I've waited for hours. I've left bites. I've done half. I've done Kathy. Like, how?
Tell me what you ate yesterday. Read off your plan and tell me the foods you ate, and let's just break it down.
All right. Yesterday was the 13th. Okay. Yesterday, 13th, collagen, coffee, eggs, bread, cheese, peanut butter, chocolate.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What?
collagen and stuff in your coffee. Then you had eggs. Wait, collagen what in your coffee?
Like half and half sugar-free syrup, my coffee thing that I do in the morning.
Okay. And then, and you had breakfast too?
Correct.
Okay. And you had how many eggs?
Two
eggs. How were they prepared?
Scrambled with some cheese.
Scrambled with cheese. Did you have like butter or oil in there too?
No.
Just spray?
Correct.
Okay. So we had eggs and we had cheese and we had something else.
Bread.
And one or two?
Two
pieces of bread. Correct. Anything else with breakfast so far?
A little bit of peanut butter and chocolate.
And peanut butter and chocolate. And you're 1,000% sure that that was eating to enough and not eating to what is exactly maintenance. That sounds like a lot of food to me. I'm just going to tell you right now.
All right. Well, I left two bites of that. Okay.
Yeah, you left two bites of a meal that my husband would eat.
Huh.
What are your thoughts when I say that? What if you had ate half that? If you had an egg and a piece of toast and your coffee and you didn't really need the peanut butter and the chocolate to top it all off, but you got your cheese.
I wrote down plus one yesterday. That was a plus one.
I think that what's happening is you think a plus one is really your plus three.
Okay.
If you're eating where you think, like, this is what I would try for a week. Okay. And this actually came from the chat.
I got to grab a pen.
Okay. Go get your pen.
Go get my pen. Okay, sorry. I have a question.
I want you to do this for a week.
Yes.
I want you to eat half of what you think is enough to where you go like, there's no fucking way this is going to be enough. This is like, I'm going to be hungry in an hour. I want you to eat that level for a week. So that we can just see what's really happening.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you, like in that meal, there was no way you needed chocolate and peanut butter. That had to have been you just wanting it.
So the plus one for me is when I'm still thinking about food an hour later. Instead of being
But you're not hungry. You're just thinking about food. You need to ask yourself, why am I thinking about food? I've had more than enough.
Because I wasn't satisfied.
Right. But that you're thinking that's hunger. I want you to in 1 hour after you ate two eggs, cheese, two pieces of toast, coffee with all the fixings, and chocolate and peanut butter, in 1 hour you're like, ooh, I'm already feeling hunger. I can feel it. I've had a dip in my energy, my stomach's growling, all the things are happening.
Oh, no, definitely not into the negative part of the scale, just not plus two.
Yeah, you're going to need to eat like half. Tell me what you had for lunch. Did you have a snack?
No, not yesterday.
Okay, good. All right, so lunch, what'd you eat?
Lunch.
You're going to hate me by the end of this call, but I love you. I do this with love.
Why would I hate you for saying I need to eat less? I've been the same weight for 13 months, and I am like...
All right, then you're going to love me because I'm going to blow through this clogged up toilet that is blocking your weight loss.
You're trying to help me. Why would I hate you?
I think it's because I'm fixing to take away about half the food that you think is enough. And I'm going to be like, I think we're eating too emotionally enough.
And that triggers that same thought is I tried that for a couple weeks and it didn't work. So I'm listening.
You tried it for 6 months.
Ugh. Well, my body would adjust at some point.
Boom, you just gave yourself away.
But I would be preoccupied with not being satisfied and I couldn't concentrate.
No, you would be learning how to stop thinking about food all the time if you took the food away and you'd be losing weight. Your problem is you're like, well, I don't want to be preoccupied thinking about food. So the way that I'm going to solve it is by overeating or eating to maintenance rather than... When I'm preoccupied by food, I need to teach my brain we've had enough and we're okay. We're losing weight, bitches.
Okay. That brings me to my next question, though.
Okay.
If satisfied is enough for 3 to 4 hours, that's what I've been operating on.
Yeah.
I can do this. I'm trying to find the right words. If satisfied is I'm not thinking about food and I can do my life.
Oh, you're doing it different. You're saying it completely wrong. You think that it's not thinking about food. It's about not being hungry physically for 3 to 4 hours. Now, you're probably going to think about food because you've been thinking about food. Mm-hmm. Y'all, this is the thing. Let me just say this and then you can like argue with me all you want. Your magic is in taking the food down a notch to where you're losing weight and then learning how to re-talk to yourself and to trigger your mind to think about food all the time by taking the food away so that you can be like, we're okay. We've got plenty. You know what we got? Not only do we have a couple of eggs, a piece of toast with some cheese and coffee, we also have weight on our butt to tap into. Of course, we're going to want to eat. That's way more fun than letting our body tap into our fat stores. Eating until we feel like we are like, okay, I've ate enough to not have to think about food. That's your difference. You're eating enough to not have to think about food for 3 to 4 hours. And I want you to eat enough food to last physically for 3 to 4 hours and to think about food a lot until you decondition yourself to think about food, to where you're thinking more about how much weight you're going to lose because now you don't eat for fear of thinking about it. You will for sure need to watch this one more time, but that's going to be your magic.
So all the times the last 3 weeks, month or whatever, that I have been like growly, acidy, like gross -3 and still working, I know I'm not in a scarcity like mindset.
Right. I want you to be there by the time you eat again. I don't want you to preemptively eat and then be like, well, but if I eat half, Corinne, I'm thinking about food. Like if you're growly and acidy and all the things in an hour, you need food. If in an hour later, once you've ate half, you're just like, I probably didn't eat enough last time. I sure wish we had had that chocolate and that peanut butter. I wonder if we're going to be able to make it all the way to like noon. And what, blah, blah, blah. Like, if that's going on, that's not hunger.
I'm not worried about
that. That's emotional bullshit.
That's not me. That doesn't ring with me. Because I've already worked through all of that. Ugh.
Okay, then you won't have a problem. Eat half of what you put this entire week. None of that will come up, and I bet you lose weight. Okay. You'll have nothing to worry about.
Okay. I've trusted you this long. Why would I get all
the food? Now tell me what you had for lunch.
Oh, yesterday? Mm-hmm. Tortilla, salad, yum sauce, which is a thing in Oregon, cheese, nuts, steak.
That was all on the salad, though.
That was on the tortilla. Yes.
Oh, okay. So wait a minute. We had a steak and cheese tortilla.
All the other things with a salad
on the side with the yum sauce. Anything else? Oh, where were the nuts?
On the salad.
Okay, on the salad. All right, that's what I was kind of thinking. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Now just I want you to either choose. I get a salad or I get a tortilla.
Okay.
What was dinner? And did you have snacks or no? Are we like, I'll quit asking you about snacks.
No, some days when I'm working, some days when I'm with the kids, I do get hungry. Some days I don't. I didn't eat dinner last night because my lunch was like at 4 and I was fine for the rest of the day.
Okay. That was good. I bet you could have just had that tortilla with the steak and stuff and probably done just as fine too.
All right, we'll give it a week.
This is what I want you. I don't want you to give it a week. I want you like, well, first give that a week. I want you to cut it in half for a week. And I want you to see if anything changes.
Okay.
But I want you to be thinking about like, probably if you're not losing weight and you really feel like you're eating to enough, that your enough is more than you need to lose weight.
Right. Agreed.
It's a maintenance amount of enough, but you've got to string a lot of time together. And I think that for most people, if you just do the Kathy method, if you just do a couple of bites and stuff, that will work. But if you're It'd be like saying, well, I go to the buffet and I load up a platter twice. Well, last week I only ate like one whole platter, and then being frustrated if you didn't lose weight. I'm not saying you're overeating to that extent, but I think what's happening is that you're expecting weight loss over, you're kind of over serving what you need to lose weight. I don't want you eating so little that you're dying, but if you're already over serving, just leaving two bites behind or whatever isn't going to make a big dent. Now, for some of you, it will, but y'all are in the Queen's Club, which means that that first 25 pounds is gone. And so now what we got to do is we got to start getting into, all right, if the scale is not moving and I am doing all the things, there's got to be things to change. And I think for you, the thing that I'm most worried about for you is that when you said, if I eat half, then I'm going to have to be thinking about food. So that makes me think that you're subconsciously eating to a level to where you know you won't have to think about food versus eating to the level of which you need to lose weight that allows you and brings up your thinking about food so that you get to work on those thoughts now. And that's your next level because you're in the Queen's Club.
Ugh, what? Okay. It's hard to process this while I'm like, you know, I'm listening to you and then you're like, we're live in this conversation. If I was a podcast, I'd like pause it and be like, what did she just say?
Yeah.
So the question I've had all along is if, and I'm going to just cop to everybody, this is the person who joined at 175 and gained 20 and I've never been happier. I solved binging and overeating. So I'm like, I love everything. So the two stinky thoughts I have are maybe my body wants to stay here and I will never be satisfied if I want to lose weight. That's the shit thought, is I'm going to be eating less than satisfied.
Right. But I want you to start getting satisfied with your life and not just eating to satisfy so you get to feel satisfied.
I am satisfied with my life. Okay.
Let's make sure. Let's take some food away and see what comes up. It will tell you really clearly if you're truly satisfied. Can you be like, this is the thing, Amber, I want you to be able to take some of this food away and you to be like, go immediately to, I'm such a badass working on my weight now.
If
I'm very satisfied with myself.
If I told you that for like a month in June and it didn't result in weight loss, like it's not a belief problem or it's an action problem. Cause now we're talking about actions again. And I thought I was like, oh, you've got a belief which makes you like sneaky bullshit sabotage something. So I've been chasing what I'm sabotaging, not like I've been chasing.
I think you got both going on. I think you got an action line problem, which means you need to cut that food in half for sure. I'm trying to have you take the food away to bring out whatever you are sabotaging with. I think right now, I don't think you necessarily know. I think I know. I don't think you've made the connection.
I'll never be satisfied. That is the shit. I'll never be satisfied. That is the shit. That
never
is
be
the
satisfied bullshit. With what?
I won't be satisfied physically in my body to lose weight. And that means I will always, like, I don't know when it will adjust if I keep.
What does being satisfied in my body mean to you?
It means that my stomach is fine. I'm like ready. I've got the fuel. I'm not tired. Let's go kick ass at this. Let's go play this. Let's go do an activity. Let's not like.
Well, this is all you got to do is tell yourself, I won't know what the fuck it is unless I try it. Like right now you're overeating to compensate for your fear of not having enough energy and stuff. So you're giving yourself extra energy in the tank. What if you're going to be really satisfied? What if you're going to find more energy? What if you're going to have more capacity?
Okay.
Because you're also riding high on being satisfied with seeing the scale go down and seeing yourself actually lose weight that you keep getting frustrated that you're not losing. What if you get satisfaction from all those areas too? And you get emotional energy because you're no longer spending it being frustrated with it not working. Satisfaction comes in a lot of different ways. So does energy. We really, as humans, do not need much food. Have you ever watched Survivor? Watch Survivor. Them bitches, if there is a chocolate chip cookie on the line, they can have not ate for 10 days and run an obstacle course and drag a man behind them.
Yes.
I kind of think that you and I could go with a tortilla steak and get through our work day and not have to worry about not having enough energy to do our shit. Our bodies just don't require, like, our brains want to tell us we need so much more. What our bodies really need, we don't need near as much food as we think we do. This, I'm not trying to advocate everybody starving. So I don't want everybody hearing this going like, what the fuck
are you talking about? I'm not hearing that. I'm not hearing that. You're good.
Yeah. But I want us to all realize is that so much of what we do is we, like, you're preemptive eating against a fear that you might not have energy and feel satisfied and be able to do all your stuff. And so you're spinning out and spending all of your time frustrated, overanalyzing, solving things that aren't really the problem. It's like.
And I think I'm stopping when the thought is I've had enough. I think I'm doing plus two. I'm not chattering about all of that. I think I'm eating to satisfy, but I'm eating to maintenance.
Yeah. I think that's the thought you've got to have. Have I ate to maintenance, or have I ate where my body's had enough fuel to help me lose weight?
Okay. Because in my mind, I still have less food, less satisfaction, but I don't have less weight, more satisfaction. I don't have that connection.
And this is the thing. You can actually eat less food and be very satisfied with yourself.
Yeah.
And be very satisfied that you've got plenty of stores on your body and plenty of energy to carry you through for 3 to 4 hours, and be satisfied that you get another opportunity to eat pretty soon. Like, satisfied is a feeling. It's not a thing generated by how much food you ate. It's about the thought you had around it.
Okay.
You got this. Do this.
Tell me.
Work on this next month and come back next month for Queen's Club and raise your damn hand. And email Emily in. No, I'm serious. Okay. Email Emily in. This is probably a very pivotal call that I would love to watch it go. Would love to know what happens in your mind this next month as you really question, like, I'm going to be eating less. I'm going to feel like it's not going to satisfy me. I'm going to think things like, this isn't going to satisfy me. What if I run out of energy? You're going to generate all of that by eating less. Okay. And then what I want you to do is tell yourself, and I'm experimenting, I actually want to see if some of this bullshit I think is true. And I'm going to give it like this next month of really going all in on that to see what happens. And then I want you to report back to me. But you already do such a good job on everything. I want you to really track your thoughts about it.
Okay.
I think you actually believe that you can do this because you keep coming back so hard at it. I think you believe that there is an answer. You just haven't found it yet. Otherwise, you wouldn't show up so regularly to get coached and keep making plans and stuff.
I believe that taking care of myself, I'm going to get lumpy in my throat. I believe the higher my self-love goes, which is right now off the charts, I should have 175 now. So I have a little bit of entitlement, right? Like wrapped in there, like, poor me. All right. Yeah, because my self-love is nutso. Food is not a reward, a celebration. It's not a thing anymore. And that's awesome. And I'm like, right. Then why?
But this is the thing. I think you've done all of that work and that's amazing. Sometimes when we're eating, it's not about our lack in ourselves. I think right now it's your fear that you feel so good and you're feeling so amazing that if you eat less, that somehow that's jacking that part up.
Shit, that's the one. Oh no.
And it's going to grow you. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to show you how much more you can love yourself, how much you have an immense capacity to be understanding when you have all of these thoughts and stuff. So that's what we're going to do. Okay.
So freaking good. You got right to it. That was like the zing right there. I'm afraid.
And we came around full circle.
Man, that was the shit right there. Damn. Okay. All right.
You do this and then you come back next month. I want to coach you one more time on this one. And everybody, I think, might want you to post in the Queen's Club. There's a talk of threads going on. I think they're all wanting to do the eat half challenge. You're gonna have partners. Don't worry.
Damn, you're good.
All right. All right. Ma'am.
Oh, yeah, you got it. All right. Well, thank you. I got my work. Bye.
Ina. That was a good call. I'm gonna tell you right there. That is the work, though. I just love the way that, like, we haven't really ever had the opportunity to really talk about that idea of eating to mentally enough versus physically enough. I think that was, there was a lot of gems in that one, but that was the gem. All right, Ina, what are we doing?
Hey, Corinne, it's Ina. Just Ina.
I knew I was going to mispronounce this.
It's one of the things. It's okay. It's all good. Two quick little things. You look so beautiful today.
Thank you.
You do. And see, you make me weepy and I don't even know why. Okay, quick story. So, well, forget the background. I'll just get to it. I am super hard on myself in all things. And I think, okay, see?
Okay.
So I'm having like some trouble with future self and goal setting. Because, like, I work 7 days a week, like, I work all the time, and I think I'm, like, super successful in what I do, but I have a hard time giving myself credit for it. And though, so when I set, like, a big goal, right, like, there's all these things around it, like, is this a big enough goal? Is it good enough when I get there? Because I had lost, like, 40 pounds with you in, like, 2018, and then I got really close to my goal, and then I think my brain went, oh my God, I'm going to have to tell people I got there and they're still going to judge me like my goal wasn't good enough. And like, she thinks that's the after version, like what the hell, you know? And so I kind of backed off from that. And so the thing is, when I set a goal, like I know that I can kill myself to get there. And yeah. So right now, like I'm so tired with work, like there's just so much going on that I think like, okay, if I set my real goal, like what I really want to do, that I'm either going to like do all the crazy to get there. And if I don't get there, then I'm going to kick my own ass for not getting there. And like, so I just don't want to sign up for an ass kicking. And it's hard to like.
But this is the way you're talking about it. You're talking about it as if the ass kicking isn't a decision you make, but if it just has to happen.
It just does happen so often.
Right. But that's because like, but this is the way you're wanting to answer the question. You know, when I set goals and whatnot, I like push myself, talk to myself like an asshole. And I treat myself like a jerk. So rather than figuring out how to improve the relationship with myself by setting a goal and doing it different, I'm just not going to set goals. Mm-hmm. And never trigger myself to say terrible things, except I kind of think that because you're crying, that when you don't set a goal, it doesn't actually solve all of that.
Right. You're
probably still hard on yourself just in other areas.
Yeah, I'm hard on myself in all the areas. And that's why I'm like, oh, the goal, like, what is the goal? The goal keeps moving because there's like real goal. And then there's the goal I think I can attain. And then there's, you know, like there's.
But it's this just, is the thing. Yeah. What if we just make it really simple?
Okay.
What do you want your goal? Are you talking weight loss? We're talking, you want to set a weight loss goal?
Yeah, like a weight. I mean, yeah, like.
Let's like, just set one.
Yeah, let's do weight loss.
Okay, let's just set one.
Okay.
What do you want?
From where I am, like another 30 pounds.
Do you want to? I want to lose 30 pounds.
Or 40.
but this is the thing. Yeah. Ina, I almost called you out.
You did good.
I want you to just, like, if you weren't dramatic about it.
Yeah.
And you weren't scared of it. And you weren't worried that you'd get there and be an asshole to yourself about it. Like if I could just say like, hey, I'm your fairy godmother. Like today I get to grant some Queen's Club wishes. You're going to get there and you're going to love it. What would you pick?
I would get there.
Yeah. But what
I mean, or like a number.
Yeah. What number? Like, would you pick? 30 or 40? Like,
40.
Okay. Then let's just pick 40. With the goal being that we get there in a way that we love ourselves and that when we get there, we're really proud of ourselves and we're very confident. That's the part of the goal setting that you guys forget. Y'all just set a number and you don't really think about the number. And like,
everything that goes on around it. It's like, here's like the goal. It's really to lose weight so I get to feel this. So if we dropped 40 pounds today, what do you think you would be feeling? And I'm not talking about your doo-doo drama. Let's just imagine that we get there in a way that's awesome, okay? If you were 40 pounds less today, how would you feel about yourself? Like, how would you just feel each day?
Powerful. What?
Powerful. Okay.
Yeah. Powerful and proud and confident.
Confident. I would imagine a lot of times you guys say proud. And I think that you guys mean proud because you've lost the weight. But I always want you to think about, let's say you lose the 40 pounds and then 3 months later, how would you still be feeling? And I think like confident is probably a big one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And powerful.
Cute.
And what?
Cute.
So that means that you pick those feelings. And that means that I want to lose 40 pounds. And along the way, I am going to learn how to be cute and powerful and confident in the actions that I take in my day-to-day being. So that when I get there, I am already that person. And what you've been trying to do is lose it from insecurity, shame, and I'm guessing with a bullwhip.
Well, yes, all the things. Or on the flip side of that, if I'm like, no, I'm going to be nice to myself, it's translated into not doing all the things.
But that's right? Not being nice to yourself. That's escaping being
an giving me an excuse to just be like, oh, well, then I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, there's like when you're truly nice to yourself, you don't give up on your dream. Someone who like really loves themselves and is nice to themselves doesn't say like, oh, well, I tell you what we should do. We should give up on our dreams. Isn't that nice?
Not so nice.
All it does is say like, you're being an asshole to yourself. So I'm going to quit doing things that are triggering you to be an asshole to yourself. That's not being nice. That's hiding.
Yes.
Rather than figuring out which sentences are you using against yourself and saying, I don't talk to like this to myself anymore. So tell me a way that you talk to yourself that's being an asshole. Do you have one sentence that you say or something?
I've gone backwards. Like I've regained it. I shouldn't have let that happen. Things like that.
Yeah. Rather than like somebody who's confident would say, you know, you've done this before. You obviously are someone who can lose weight. We don't have that problem. We're just going to do it in a way this time that feels really good. That's what a confident person would be saying. So when you're sitting there in the shame tunnel, you have to say, like, all right, if I'm supposed to be feeling confident and powerful, then when I'm trying to shame myself about, like, you regained weight, you say confidently, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how I choose to speak to myself today and how I show up for myself today. That's confidence. That's power over your thinking.
Okay.
That's how you learn to lose weight in a way that you end up where you don't have to regain the weight back. Because what most of you try to do is push yourselves into the weight loss expecting that you're going to feel powerful and confident and all these other things, except you get there and you're like you said, the first thing I thought of is like, oh, now everybody's going to be like, she thinks she's all that. You're going to feel judged.
Right.
Your brain didn't learn confidence and power and cute.
How do we learn that again?
Journal. Every single day you write and you journal. about what you're thinking about yourself today. And then you talk to yourself, like, if you know that you ultimately want to feel confident and powerful and cute, you tell yourself, these are the things I will be thinking about myself today, because this other bullshit doesn't create those feelings. So, like, if you want to be, like, when you make a plan, rather than going, like, well, I don't know if I'll be able to stick to that, that's not what a confident person would say. A confident person makes a plan and says, I'm going to have my back today. I'm going to put this piece of, I'm going to take a picture of this plan before I eat anything. I'm going to look at it on my phone. I'm going to know exactly what I have to do all day long. That's the way a confident person would act. That's the way a confident person thinks. So you have to start thinking that way now. When you're eating, if you want to be powerful, you can't be sitting there ever eating something and sitting around allowing yourself to just think like, well, I hope I don't overeat. This food has control over me. I should never eat sugar. If I ever eat sugar, I'll never stop. That's not what powerful people think. Powerful people think, I'm going to eat a donut and prove to myself that I don't have to eat four. I'm going to plan that son of a bitch and get used to eating one at a time instead of acting like I can't ever have them or being afraid of them until I binge on them. That's what powerful people do. Powerful people take authority over their lives. They take authority over their thinking. So each day, you got to wake up. You got to journal. Are you doing the self-love course? You better be. I'm going to whip your ass if you're not.
You can go backwards and start. I will do it. I know. I started. Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Corinne.
Anybody that's saying that you are lacking, like if you need to cry when you first start talking about yourself because your self-image is so low, you need to do the self-love stuff more than anyone. Because in your mind, being nice to yourself means giving up on your dreams. We got to fix that. That's not being nice to yourself. That's the worst thing you do. Being nice to yourself means I'm going to unlearn all of this thinking one at a time. That's really being nice to yourself. Allowing yourself to keep chasing your dreams, even while you're doubting yourself, even when you're beating yourself up and saying like, I will not give up on my dream. I will relearn how to talk to myself. I will relearn how to get there. Because that's what's being nice to myself.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Self-love. That's your first homework. And make a 24-hour plan every damn day. And you just tell yourself, I'm going to lose 40 pounds.
Okay.
I don't even know how I'm going to do it. But for now, I know if I make a 24-hour plan and just do some of these basics and do self-love, it's way better than sitting around thinking that I should have the escape hatch and be nice to myself. That doesn't work. Okay?
Yep.
All right. You got this. All right. Guys, I swear to God, I wish more than anything that I could somehow figure out a way to just make you all love yourself. If there was a magic thought, and I do think about this stuff, I would give it to you. Lenora.
Hello.
Hello. What are we coaching on?
So I'm feeling like I am doing a whole bunch of stuff to destroy a lot of my friendships lately. And I don't know what I know. Isn't it dramatic?
Stop that. That doesn't sound good.
Isn't it dramatic? Oh my God. yeah. So over the last week, I've had some pretty big fallouts with friends. And I'm a person who prides herself on being a really great friend. And I have lots of people in my life. And I've had friendships for, you know, over 30, 35 years of the same sort of people. But lately, it just feels like I am like bulldozing through my friendships. And I think a lot of it has to do with, and you coached me on the Women of Color call back in the September timeframe, because I was going through a breakup with my boyfriend who left the area.
Okay, I remember this. Okay.
Yeah, and so I think I'm having some residual feelings of rejection from that. And I'm on this whole rejection thing right now. It's like I'm just not being a good.
So do you have a scenario, like one friendship where something's happened that you can tell me about, or we can kind of pull it apart and see what's going on?
Yeah. So I'll tell you about something that happened yesterday. You know, I'm a tennis player. I played at a tournament yesterday with a good friend of mine. I wasn't playing my best and we lost the match, and I kind of felt like it was my fault. And there was something that she said during the match. I made a point that I had been missing, and she said, finally. And so I kind of, I came home and I thought about it. And so I sent her a text and I said, you know, that wasn't really cool for you to say that to me. You know, I'm trying my best or whatever. And, you know, she said, I'm sorry you took it that way. Sort of like the whole, I'm not accepting any responsibility. So then I sent her a text.
Is when she texted that back, that she's not taking responsibility for hurting your feelings.
Exactly.
Except you forgot the whole part where your feelings were hurt because she said finally, and you're like, yeah, I'm not playing my best.
Right. Yeah. And she explained it in a way, you know, she put some other words around it, but I know what I heard.
What did she say? Let's make sure you know it, because this is what I want to know, Lenora. Can we trust your brain? Because probably you just not. Got through telling me that you're rejecting people and having residual this and all this other junk. The nice thing about having the exact words is that we've got my brain looking at them that's not wanting you to feel rejected. But if your brain is on the hunt to feel rejected, it's going to see words in a very different light.
Right. Okay. So here's a text. I do remember saying, you finally did it, laughing to congratulate you. I meant no harm, and I will choose my words carefully in those tense situations. So sorry you took it that way.
So yeah, what a bitch. I'm just going to tell you, I don't even know. Like, you should have probably ended that friendship long ago.
Oh, I struggle with it too. I, you know, hey, sometimes seriously, you have to have a little bit of separation.
I want you to read it one more time. Read it one more time.
I do remember saying, you finally did it, laughing to congratulate you. I meant no harm, and I will choose my words carefully in those tense situations. So sorry you took it that way.
Yeah. So she, like, this is what's so funny. It's like she's saying, I'm taking responsibility for your hurt feelings. And you're just like, hey, yeah, that's a bitch. She literally gave you exactly probably what you wanted, which was, you were like, in your mind, when she said that, that's not good. She sends you a text and says, yeah, in the future, because you've told me how you like to be talked to, I'm going to like watch how I talk now so that you get to feel better. I'm not going to ask you to do your own thought work. I'm just going to like do it for you. Mm-hmm. And your brain is still like, no, we're supposed to be feeling really rejected. So I need to read this in a way that allows me to feel really bad. Mm-hmm. Do you see how, like, when your brain is determined to make something bad, that it will, like, go after it?
Yeah. So I actually sent her a text this morning. And I said, I'm probably PMSing, you know, I hope we're good, but she hasn't responded. So then I'm kind of sitting in that space of, she may never respond. You know, I'll have to see her on the court or whatever. She may never respond. So what am I going to do with that? How am I going to move forward? How am I going to think about myself?
I wouldn't even think about that. I would just assume that she hasn't responded yet because she's busy and it's Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And it's Sunday. Like, do you notice how your brain is like going to like you are very determined to be rejected. You're just like, well, now she hasn't texted. So now I'm going to have to think about, she probably never will. And now I'm going to have to see her in the future where I'm going to be further rejected. And I need to like spend a lot of time on this one.
Yeah.
Is she got a mate?
No.
Does she have hobbies?
Tennis. That's all we do. I mean, she could be playing. I don't know, but
she could be, you know, a thousand just things, but I just want you to see where your brain's going. Your brain right. is going to, our friendship has a major problem. I'm rejecting people. And here's more evidence of being rejected. She hasn't texted me back yet.
Yeah.
She may be pissed. But here's the thing. If she is, text her again tomorrow and just say, like, hey, I got coached on your ass yesterday. I realized I was wrong. I shouldn't right. be so sensitive sometimes.
Right, right.
I really like you. I love our tennis. Like, whatever you want to, like, truly let her know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, and like I said, I think I'm going through this whole thing of, like, rejecting a whole bunch of people just because I'm feeling the residual effects of the rejection back in September. For instance... So my ex-boyfriend and I, we were still, he would text me every now and then, text at Christmas or whatever. So I decided that, you know what, he may stop doing that. And so that I can save myself from feeling rejected, I'm going to block him. So he's blocked. He hasn't done anything. He's just blocked. So I won't know if he doesn't reach out, you know?
Let me ask you this, because there's a couple of curious things happening here. Number one, you act like I'm experiencing residual effects of rejection. We don't ever experience residual effects. It's not just happening to you. You every single day have a fresh crop of thoughts. If y'all are wondering, my leg is itching like crazy because I'm on this mesh chair. It's killing me.
Okay, scratch it, girl.
I know. I'm just like, I didn't want everything. I'm just scratching my ass like a maniac. But the feeling rejected today is coming from the fresh crop of thoughts that you keep bringing from the past to today. He rejected me. You need to rewrite that story. It needs to be, we broke up. We're not together anymore. Period.
Right.
It's got to get way more boring than what you're doing right now. Because whatever is going on there, you're like, well, so remind me again. Did he break up with you? Did you break up with him? Who was the breaker-upper?
Relocating.
He was relocating.
Yeah, he was relocating, exactly. And didn't want a long-distance relationship.
Yeah. So rather than calling it, I was rejected, just say, things changed. He was moving to another city. Long distance wasn't going to work out. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. It has nothing to do with him rejecting you. It has more to do with things changed.
Right.
And that's going to be helpful for you now because I think you keep trying to drag around rejection as if like it's necessary. Mm-hmm. And then it's having you hunt like for it in all these other areas. Why are you so insistent? Like, do you think that people really like you?
Yeah, honestly, I think I'm a good person. I attract a lot of people in my life who stay around. I genuinely consider myself a good person and a nice person.
So this is the thing. Then why would you ever believe for a moment that people want to reject you instead of just people say things and things happen and it has nothing to do with me?
Right, right.
That's where I kind of want you to get to.
Yeah, I kind of, part of it is that I have I have difficulty when people are upset with me. So I almost want to reject the relationship for fear that I'm going to do something that's going to cause them to reject me in the future because they're angry with me.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you piss me off or mm-hmm. you piss your friend off or something. Say you do something that's going to make somebody mad.
Yeah.
In that moment when they're like, you're wrong, Lenora. This is like not okay with me. Mm-hmm. What are you going to make that mean about you?
More than likely, I would make it mean that I am wrong. That, you know, their opinion about what happened is correct. Yeah. I do internalize a lot of things that people give me. I don't know. I always take the blame.
Well, that, all right. So when you were talking about, I really like myself, I really do all these things, you probably do in certain areas, but in this area, you don't like yourself very much when somebody's not liking you.
That's right. Where I want you to start working on, because I think that's what's happening, is that you have this fear that someone's going to not like you. It has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with the thoughts you'll allow yourself to have about you in that moment. You'll go to, I'm wrong. I'm bad. I did this. Like, something will be going on there. And I want you to write about that, because in the moment when you can upset someone and not have to feel ashamed about it, and not have to feel really bad. Like when I upset someone, if somebody comes to me and says like, hey, like this was not right, I will feel sometimes bad, like, you know, they're right. I probably shouldn't have said that. And I'm willing to apologize and I'm willing to make it right and stuff, but I don't spiral. So that makes me open to a lot more in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If I make someone mad, and on the inside, I'm going to be like, you are so wrong. You know, you should never do things like that. And I'm very admonishing, or like I start spiraling into being terrified that everyone's going to leave me and stuff. When that happens, then that is when you see people usually shutting off walls. Yeah. Like, in order to prevent your own inner turmoil, you will cut off relationships and stuff ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you're cutting off a lot of good relationships in the process for fear. All we need to do is fix the relationship you have with yourself when you've disappointed people.
Right.
When people are upset with you, because that is just life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I wanted to work on for 2021, to really put some work into it, which is the seeking of validation from others. It has always been my issue.
Yeah.
And it continues to be my issue, but I'm working my way through it. And this was just an example of hearing something back, and still feeling that I caused all of this.
Yeah. And like, going back to your tennis thing, this is a real easy solve.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go back to how it happened in the match. And I want you to just tell yourself, I was feeling vulnerable. She said words. I took it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that I'm in charge of my emotions, not my tennis partner. And that's okay. Yep. And like, be there for yourself in that moment. And just say like, sometimes I'm not perfect. And that's okay. Validate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then say like, and I read this text because I was reading it from the mindset of someone who was seeking validation, and I wasn't giving it to myself yet. So when she sent me these words, I would never be able to read them with clarity until I was like, okay, with, I got it. This was kind of my fault. And I'm okay with that because I'm a human. I'm not going to be perfect in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then just don't read so much into everything that she does right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Read more into what you're thinking about it. Like, notice when your brain's going to, you know, she hasn't responded yet. She's probably all blah, 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 blah. It's like, what if we just believe the best in our friends?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she's really a good friend of yours, or she's really someone that you want to have in your life, say, I'm going to believe in the best in her. That she probably loves me. She probably likes me. She'll come around. I would much rather sit here and spend my time thinking the best about her versus thinking the worst about me or her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the good thing is that I'm not eating through it. The weight loss stuff is actually on point. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's probably because you're really astute at figuring this part out. Like, you're noticing a pattern. I'm suddenly rejecting people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, notice where it's like, okay, set them aside for a moment. Where am I rejecting myself right now in these mm-hmm. relationships? What mm-hmm. am I not listening to? What am I reading too much into? What am I, you know, and if there are people who are doing some stuff like where there needs to be some, you need to know this, just make sure, this is the way I always do it with my friends. I don't tell my friends bullshit that upset me unless it like legit
is a no-go. Because I know me. On certain days, certain things that friends say rub me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to base a lifetime friendship on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, like, today is a day that I don't like what they just said.
Mm-hmm.
Will it matter in 10 days? If it's not, I don't give a shit now. I'm just moving on.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's also another good way to think about things, just and with text especially. Have you heard my 10-10-10 rule? Will it matter in 10 minutes, 10 days, or 10 months?
Yep. Yep, you're right. You're right. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing that. Talking about friendships and stuff is never that easy, so.
Yeah, it's tough. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that's all we got time for today. I've been talking since noon, and I think I'm going to have to call it there. We'll be back next month. If I didn't get to your question, you can always take it to Ask Coaches, and they will coach you right up. And you can also take it to your Queen's Club Facebook group, where the girls over there are. There's a lot of good thought work that goes down over there. So you can always take your stuff over there and post. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.